Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Wednesday. It is August the 18th, 2021. I'm still blown away that August is kind of almost over already. We're like 12 days out of September, in which your boy, that's your birthday month, September 10th, I will turn 36 years young. But anyway, Sturch, Gooch, and of course, AJ from the couch.
Gabe, what? Just broke a man law.
What? Don't?
Not to come at you right away.
Wait, what? Telling people my birthday?
Grown men are not allowed to have birthday months.
I'm saying my birthday is in the month of September. I'm like, not one of these like, Kasim, I'm going to celebrate every
Kasim,
day. No.
Kasim has a party every weekend. And it's his birthday month. And I'm like, you know, you're not a child.
No.
You're a 21-year-old girl.
I was made fun of for quite some time within my own family that like I always needed or wanted a party. And not like, hey, throw me a party. I just like, hey, I like to get everybody together. You know, so from like, I don't know, from like 21 to like 30, I was like really into every year getting people together, go to the bar, this and that and third. And that was it. You know, I think my 21st and my 25th, my parents like threw me a big ass party. And I'm like, okay, cool. But like 30, do I remember 30? It was 5 years ago.
I removed my birthday from social media because I don't want, I'm just... makes me uncomfortable. Two things. One, I don't want to have to talk to everybody.
Are you obligated? Do you feel obligated? Because every day on Facebook, you'll probably get that notification like, it's such and such's birthday. Wish him a happy birthday. Do
no,
you?
No.
Oh, wow. You're a real asshole, huh? No. I would just take 10 seconds out of my day to wish somebody a happy birthday. You know?
I'm doing that person a favor and they don't have to respond to me because we don't actually talk. So if I don't talk to you, I'm not going to say happy birthday to you. And it's not the disrespect. I hope you have a happy birthday. Just... I don't need to wish it as well as everybody else.
AJ, when's your birthday?
July 15th. It already passed.
That's right. We had this discussion. It was. I think it was when he first started. And he was like.
Yeah, it just came and went.
It just came and went. And he's like, today is my
AJ,
birthday.
I'm what
like,
did we what? Give AJ for his birthday?
A job?
A few assignments.
Yeah.
Like, here, go. Can you work for us? Work the books.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah, we got to do that, bro.
Yeah, I'm aware.
That's okay. We haven't really had that many of it, like, you know, banger days where it's going to be too much to update, but. There is new merch. There is new hoodies. Go check those out. There's new shirts. There will be two new NFL-themed t-shirts available on the chopsports.shop today. We will not release who. You're just going to have to go check it out and find out or wait until we post them to find out which teams we decided to do first because we want to try to get everybody's team involved with some kind of either graphic tee or something creative. Not unlike the amazing tee that you're wearing right now. You wore that in one of our first episodes camera.
Yo.
The Chico Razor Ramon t-shirt. That's always a winner. I am wearing the classic anti-establishment sports media company t-shirt, in which I probably should have saved till Friday if we do go to Bar A. But they'll probably kick me out.
Probably not going.
You're probably not going.
I mean, we're probably not going.
Why do you say that? Like, why?
Because
at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, like on a Friday, instead of going to MJ's, we would go to Bar A. And just hang out, drink some beers, watch a broadcast.
We would rather just get Yankee tickets that day and do that.
Yeah, but that's all the way in the Bronx. At least Bar A is right here.
All the way to the Bronx, all the way to Bar A. I feel like it's the same shit.
We're right on the off the parkway here. It's like 20 exits. The Bronx is a whole nother state.
It's about 20 minutes further.
You're fooling. No way.
Want to bet?
I mean, I just came from the South. Don't Google or MapQuest or whatever. MapQuest. How old am I?
We're going to print the directions.
I wonder if there's anybody that still does that.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Printing directions.
People that are that kind of got old at that time, and that was the last thing they learned how to do on the internet, or the first thing, and now all the new shit doesn't work for them because they don't know how to even type in an address or... You get it. My dad.
Your dad is one of those guys where he's just
finally
like,
figured out how to
let's
get the,
go.
He finally figured out how to get the Google Maps on his dashboard.
Oh, okay. See? You're just helping out pops.
And by figured out, I mean I did it for him, and now he knows how to listen to the directions.
a lot to talk about today on the podcast. Obviously, the Yankees take a nice little day-night sweep over the Red Sox. We'll talk about that for a second. We'll talk about the Mets and some angry tweets, and we're not talking about any former president. We're talking about a owner of the team sending out a pretty direct missile to his organization. We'll talk a little NFL with some new deals, and of course, today is day 14, where we will preview the Los Angeles Chargers of 2021. Last year, finishing third. This year, I firmly believe, and I believe AJ, from just by talking to him and pre that we both have them improving this year. So we'll talk about the Chargers in a little bit. But first and foremost, the Yankees get it done twice. This team has turned the corner. This team has been really exciting to watch. This team, well, and by exciting, I say stressful because it always is stressful. They always put themselves in a position to kind of climb out of their own situation that they put themselves in, but they're winning games. They're winning series, and now they've put themselves percentage points above the Boston Red Sox.
First time since either like the end of May, May 26th. Or
not even before that, man. It feels like it's been forever.
No, since they've... I don't know about ahead of the Red Sox, but I'm saying since they, if the season ended today,
they're in the playoffs.
They would be in the playoffs. Yeah. That's the first time since the end of May, so it's been a while.
Wow. All right. So, yeah, it's been a month. They had a very red-hot July that has carried into August. They keep winning series, and that's how you get things done. They're playing 700 baseball, literally what the Dr. Gucci ordered about a month ago. Say, play 700 baseball, you'll be fine. And that's what they've been doing. 7 out of 10, 7 out of 10, 7 out of 10. This is the baseball they got
to
play.
They listen to the podcast.
They do listen to the podcast. I will say this, shout out to the youth movement that we have within this organization, specifically, you know, the pitching staff. You know, Loaizaca is something that we could really turn him into something special if he just get, you know, just keeps up what he's doing. Heel has now started 3 games, haven't let up a run, which is, I believe it's the first time in Major League Baseball history, and that's the truth. So I think that's a stat I saw. First time Major League Baseball history, first 3 starts, no earned runs.
I will be blown away if that's true.
Blown away?
I just don't think that that's possible.
AJ,
out of all the guys that have ever played, that would be an amazing stat.
AJ just gave me this look, I got to do something.
Even more impressed than that I am by him already, if that's actually the case.
I think that's a thing. AJ will confirm. And, of course, Cortez is you know, Super Mario all of a sudden. I don't know if you've seen some of the t-shirts that are floating around the interwebs, but he's definitely picking up the pace when it comes to merchandise sales. So we really need to capitalize. What I want to do, and I'll tell you off air, yes, yeah. Ah, damn, you did it on air. So now somebody watching is going to do the thingy.
Be hard. I've been thinking about ways.
How to do it, right.
I noticed yesterday that I keep on fucking moving around.
We got to cartoon something.
Once there's a live camera going,
yes,
I move around too much.
No, you're fine.
All right. I'm not exactly sure what the record was you said. I'm not going to lie. I kind of blacked out there.
Okay, blacked out during a live show. Go ahead.
Yeah, but... Gill, okay, 3 starts into his MLB career. Heel is unscored upon in 15 and two-thirds innings, which is the longest score of the streak to begin a career by a Yankee in the expansion era.
Oh, a Yankee. Still. Yeah, something to be say. As long as the lineage of the Yankees is, that's the first time to ever do that. That's pretty impressive. You know, the Yankees have been around for like 400 years. that's impressive to me. I will say this, and I'll bring this up. Luke Voit, yes, he played well yesterday, struck out 3 times between the 2 games, but he did go Yardski and definitely contributed to that second win. Goes on record and says that, you know, he should be playing just as much as Rizzo, and that he was brought here because of injuries. And he's not wrong, right? Like, he's not wrong in the actual context
the
context.
I would never go about it the way he did and start naming accolades
frustrated
that I've done in the past.
Yeah,
like, I finished in the top 10 in MVP. I led that league in home runs last year. That has nothing to do with this year, bro. And I've been hot and cold on Voit. I don't want to get too deep into the Yankee talk, but I will say this. Luke Voit, you're not a lefty. That's the main reason why they brought him in.
Right.
The first reason being that you're not a lefty. And second is you haven't been healthy this year. So forget about last year. Luke Voit, stay healthy. Hustle. Mm-hmm. Start playing better in the field. And that's the third reason is that Rizzo is a gold glove caliber first baseman.
Right.
And Voit has been abysmal.
All it's going to take is for Stanton to become the everyday left fielder. That's all it's going to take to get both guys in the lineup every single day.
I think down the stretch, that's the only way to go. I don't think
Stan's, if me and you can say it, and probably the listeners and everybody else who hear the sound of our voice talking about the Yankees can realize that too. Why isn't it like considered?
I'll tell you why.
Is it because Stanton's fragile?
It's because they don't have a true center fielder either, other than Gardner.
There has been a revolving door in center field this year.
So if you think about the reasoning behind it, you're going to put Judge in center? Are you going to put Gallo in center? He's a corner out. They have 3 corner outfielders, and then Stanton.
Right.
Basically. Stanton being one of them.
Right.
So to get all 3 of those guys in the lineup, one of them has to play center, and then you're now you're turned into a liability in center field, regardless of who it is, because as good as I think Judge could be in the field, he's just simply not a center fielder.
Just by percentages, and I'm curious to know the actual number, there's not as many balls hit the center field than left and right. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, you know, yes, you can hit it dead red, but like that's got to be a thing. And I don't have the percentages in front of me.
I would say that you're probably right. There's probably more balls hit to left field.
If you're a pull hitter, yeah, which most people are.
Yeah, I would imagine, especially being that there's the shift, if people could go opposite field, there would be more shots to center field, but that has nothing to do with it. Righty or lefty, the center fielder's got to cover all the ground.
Correct.
He's the captain. He's the of captain, the outfield, right. You want to say whatever, but yeah, it's not as easy to play center field as it is right. That's a fucking fact.
Absolutely.
Or no, it's, you get what I meant.
Yeah, I get what you meant. But when there is one side of the coin, there's a flip side of the coin. So the Yankees are surging at the right time. There's another team that plays in New York that I'm sure Matt Ibanez and John Sapanaro will cover it today when they record Till Mets Do Us Part. But there is another team in New York that is free falling right now, and that's the New York Mets. They are officially under 500. What happened? And it's easy to blame it on the injury bugs when it's DeGrom, right? But he's one pitcher, right? And it's when it's, you know, their fine little player. Like I said, Lindor has been out of the lineup for a while. He's one player. This is everybody across the board, and I bring up this tweet, and I'll bring it on the screen right now. This is from Steve Cohen. It's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive. The best teams have more disciplined approach. The slugging and the OPS numbers don't lie. Now, to me, this is straight shot at your own team. This isn't motivating stuff. I understand that there's ways to go about it to motivate your team, but then there's ways to say, we stink, and this is frustrating. Like, yes, it is, but do you agree with him? Shots fired like that, in that way? Would you ever think, not that George Steinbrenner would ever have a Twitter.
I was just going to say, yeah, I do agree with it in a sense where he's paying the salary. He's allowed to say what the fuck he wants. It says he's the boss.
Right.
Now, I think he's deflecting because a lot of the accountability has to fall on the ownership and the front office. Because when you're talking about OPS and all these things.
Right, he's analytically going
nuts. And
then
you go out and you make the trade for Baez instead of Chris Bryant. I think it's glaring. You see, you're getting a guy that's not an OPS guy. He swings and misses at every fucking pitch that you throw him. So you didn't really fix anything with what you went out and did at the deadline. If that was your issue, now, I understand the situation that we're in. They had to pull the trigger on something because their fan base was clamoring for it. But
don't you think they should have been a little bit more aggressive if they're worried about the injury bug as much as the Yankees were? The Yankees were worried about these injuries and not having a left-handed bat and all this stuff. It's finally, if they're talking about analytics and strategy, they finally woke up after all these years.
You don't want to mortgage the future. I don't know that there was a player or even two players out there at the deadline that's not a pitcher that the Mets could have made a move for and would have put them in a position that they aren't in now.
Mm.
Even the guys like a Gallo or a Rizzo, like, they didn't really have a need for that. You have to go with what you need on your team. There was really no pitching available that wasn't a Scherzer, and he made it clear that he wasn't coming. So there's not much you could do.
Right.
What other pitchers got moved at the deadline?
Kyle Gibson.
Nothing that moves the needle.
Haney.
You know? Eve. Oh, God, he pitches tonight against the Red Sox, and that should be fun.
We're going to be ahead of Red Sox for a day. The Mets are reeling, the Red Sox are reeling, and the Yankees are surging, and it is August, and this is what we all come to expect year after year. Now, will the Yankees hang on, and will the Yankees keep making their push? I'd like to think, yeah, but Tampa is fucking really good, and they score 10 runs a night, and they give up none.
And they traded away all their best people.
I'm not one to root for injuries, and I never would, especially this one. But did anybody see the Oakland game yesterday?
He got smacked right in the face.
Bro, that was cringe.
How close are we away
from... He's been lights out. He's a Cy Young candidate.
How close are we, realistically, pitchers wearing some kind of headgear? Because it happens in slow pitch softball. I know it's only men's rec league and co-ed rec league. But you see people...
We're real far away.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because those things can kill you legitimately and your vitals. If you get hit on the temple or on the button, it could kill you. So, like, that right there yesterday is a firm example.
Could you imagine making some of these pitchers wear a helmet to pitch?
Or at least face gear.
I mean,
look, football players do it. Hockey players do it. You know, even basketball players, when they come off an injury where they got hit in the face, they wear the Horace Grant or the Richard Hamilton, right? With the big ass mask, right? Those are the things that protect your face. Why can't you tell me? Like, all right, I will say this.
I will say this.
Well, hold on. I will say this. When you have something on your face, right, it doesn't prohibit your direct line of sight, but it would prevent your looking
you're
over
not,
to first
you're
base.
You're not going to get a pitcher to wear a fucking face mask or a helmet.
No pitcher will want to do that.
Nobody's
that's the problem
do it.
With it. Maybe
I'm not mandating it. I'm not mandating it. I'm not saying you have to make it a rule. I'm saying, like, a guy like him who just got literally laid the frig out, he might consider it.
I think that if you're considering it, your head place is wrong. You can't be going out there worrying about that.
I'm just saying the guys are hitting the ball harder.
I've seen worse,
I remember Mussina got his face like mutilated.
Bro, how about the worst one that I've ever seen was a Red Sox pitcher. I think it was a Red Sox pitcher, Bryce Fleury. He got hit right in the eyeball. It was the worst.
His career over after that?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, that's some.
Everybody out there, Google or YouTube the
later. Bryce watch Fleury, the show, but later.
Bryce Fleury.
I'm going to watch that after. But
bro, bad.
Dude, like, we might be at a time.
What's the worst pitching injury that you've seen on the mound?
I would say Mussina's. When that actually happened, then his face looked like it exploded.
Definitely, Mussina's was bad, but the Bryce Fleury one was the worst I've ever seen. And then there's another one that wasn't actually a comebacker, but Dave Gervecki. Does anybody remember that?
Mm-mm.
When he came back from like cancer or something crazy. He came back and in his first start back, he broke his arm throwing and it like literally dangled. It was one of those torque injuries.
Oh.
So disgusting. Google that too.
I mean, before or after lunch. Jesus Christ. But yeah, dude, it's a scary thing to see what these pitchers have to deal with when the guys in baseball overall in the sport are stronger. You know, they're hitting the ball harder. Now one of people's favorite stats is exit velo.
Yeah, exit velo on, you know, that what I'm one saying? Yesterday was 100 miles an hour.
He
shattered his jaw and fractured eye socket or cheekbone.
He might be done.
Bro, that's one of the most disgusting like I cringe when I think of shattered cheekbone.
Right. That means now you're like Kanye West, you know what I mean? Just like through the wire.
Worse.
You know, like this is it.
Worse.
It's right. And imagine, you know, you cringe when guys, it's not like guys go headhunting, but when pitchers lose that ball and it goes straight for the guy's dome and he's able to get out of the way.
Oh, guys go headhunting, though.
Oh, whatever the case may be. But of course you are. But I'm just saying, I think that is a little different because you got the helmet on and it hits you in the helmet. That's you know, with the technology you have nowadays, I'm sure that getting hit in the helmet sucks. Rings your bell, but it definitely prevents you from getting catastrophically crushed like this pitcher did yesterday. That's such a bad scene. Bad scene. So we covered the Yankees, Mets a little bit. Baseball, we'll get to all the scores in just a couple minutes. I do want to bring up some football news. First of all, I know both of you didn't watch Hard Knocks. It definitely, if I scored 7.5 out of the, I think I scored a 7 the first episode, or maybe an 8.
You did a 8.
Okay, so if it was an 8, this one was a 5. Like, and it's it was a little defeating. It was like, you wait all week for this, and then you turn it on, you're pumped. Don't get me wrong. A lot of the scenes, I'm laughing. Zeke is an absolute goofball, and he's hilarious being on the sidelines and just, you know, eating sunflower seeds and just being a weirdo. That's the funny part. They did do a really good feel-good story about Kamara. They're one of their, you know, longer-shot defensive ends to make the team. His parents and his family were like refugees off the coast of Africa, and they made it to the country. And now, you know, he earned himself a scholarship to Kansas to play football. And now
they're
going to cut him in the next episode. No, he was actually in the on the practice squad last year, so there's a chance that he's brought back again if they like him. But it's so crazy to see these guys. Like, just imagine that. Like, you're growing up. You've never seen anything in your life other than like wherever you're from, whether it be wildlife or desert or whatever. You know what I mean? And then you get to America and all of a sudden you're just, somebody's like, hey, have you ever played football? And the kid's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, why don't you line up here? And when that ball is thrown to that guy, go get him. And all of a sudden you just learn a craft. Now you're a defensive end in the NFL. Well, blown away.
On the practice squad.
In the NFL, my man. It could be in the CFL or the European League or whatever the hell they got.
So how did McCarthy play?
McCarthy was worse this week than last week as far as...
That's bad.
How?
Well, no.
When you were saying goofball and talking about Zeke, I was like,
he meant McCarthy. No, he cursed a lot. You know, look, he's an NFL head coach. There's no NFL head coaches right now with like...
I wonder how many Cowboys are going to retire because they were cursed at.
No, none of them, because we're not soft like other players in New York. But I will say this, like I said, underwhelming episode of Hard Knocks. I'll write about it. I'll blog about it. But they're, you know, there's storylines. They featured Ben DiNucci. Don't ask me why. Another guy that'll maybe make the practice squad. Maybe. But they did feature his first touchdown pass, in which I missed it because I fell asleep for that half a second. But anyway, that was that. But the big story yesterday in the NFL is that Jamal Adams is now the highest paid safety in the National Football League. Safeties are now a premium. You got guys like Honey Badger tweeting out like big eye emojis. Like, these are the guys now. Now, this is the unfortunate part because, A, I think Jamal Adams is a great safety, but he's not the best safety and he can't catch for shit. So I don't know if he is well deserving of this kind of money. However, just like it does for the quarterback market, just like it does for the running backs, receivers, this is now your bottom price. And this now makes everybody else, your good safeties, going to want more money. You know, so this sets the bar and does it disservice for all 31 other NFL teams. Do you agree with the contract?
No, I never agree with the biggest contract in the league for the guy that I don't think is the best player at that position.
Right.
Now, there's something to be said about what you just said, where it's a timing thing. I understand it. I'm not necessarily good with the contract. I wouldn't want to give that to a safety. Mm-hmm. That is kind of one-dimensional to me. Maybe a little more than one-dimensional.
He has more sacks than picks.
He can cover. I'm not worried about the picks so much. I'm worried about he doesn't miss tackles, things like that. Like, he does all that well. So he's a good player, great player. I think he's a little bit of a malcontent, and we'll see in a year or two, is he going to still want to be there?
It's just crazy, though. He gets the contract yesterday. This comes off the heels, and you know it, because we watched it develop here at the studio. Like, all of a sudden, there would be tweets come out from Schefter and all these other guys, like, all contract talk negotiations have been broken off. Broken off. Not going to extend them. It's over. They'll talk about it next year, and then bang, he gets a new deal. It means
nothing what these guys say. There's agents that are doing things with the front office, and breaking off talks, what does that even mean? So the player should never have to be focused on the talks. It should always be the agent. So yes. It shouldn't matter if it's in season, prior to season, postseason, you name it. It doesn't matter, because that's not the player's job to begin with. So I never really understood broke off talks. I never buy it. All that is Wolf tickets, and nobody really actually knows. It's only a source that you can't actually reveal. So what the fucking good is it?
Right. One day, if I was in like charge of the media and sports media, I would make it a mandate that you have to name your source. Like, I don't care if that exposes the worst person of the in the history of people. You have to be like, according to AJ Bascone from Chop Sports, Jamal Adams sucks. You know what I mean? Like, that's the source. Not like, I've heard from team sources, who's AJ Bascone, that this guy sucks. So I hate that shit.
If somebody's the one that actually broke the news, you have to typically give them credit.
You do. Like, right? When Dallas stuff goes, you do the Star Telegram. So
I could
just be like,
it's a source. I could have heard from a source. Who's your source? ESPN.
But nobody asks. Nobody. It's like a unwritten rule that you don't ask.
But it's an unwritten rule that you don't ask, but it's a written rule that you have to name your source. Yeah,
but you have to also have two to break a story. You have to have two credible sources to break a story. I learned that in Sports Journalism 101.
But if nobody's asking,
there's no way. Right, exactly.
Who's to say you need any?
Right.
That's Am I wrong here?
No, truthfully, you're not wrong. Yeah. Not wrong. Other NFL news, Josh Rosen cut from the San Francisco 49ers. Why is this news? Because I just need to go back on something I said when he was drafted. This kid don't like football. He was forced into football by his family. His family has money. This kid was never good, and I don't think he lands anywhere else. I think this is the end of the road for Josh Rosen.
So I won't say that he doesn't like football, because I don't know what's going on in Josh Rosen's head.
Demeanor.
Tom Brady came from money, too. So money doesn't necessarily mean
but he's
like
never
football.
Been driven by money. He was motivated and won Super Bowls without being the highest paid quarterback in the league. Josh Rosen got his number one pick type salary, and not that he was
Josh
the number
Rosen
one pick,
made more money than he's come from. I can guarantee you that. Just in maybe. His little shitty career in maybe. The NFL, and if it's done for him, so be it. Good for him. He'll probably not die 10 years earlier. He'll remember his kids, and you know, like you said, he came from money. So I'm not really broken up about the Josh Rosen thing. In fact, I think we talked way too long about it already.
You're probably right. And with that being said, AJ, I need you to catch up the world on everything that went down yesterday in the sport of American baseball.
All right. So we're here with Curtis Sells House's sports update for all your realty needs. Make sure to hit up Curtis Counts. Let's get into the first slate of the games. We have the Giants beating the Mets 3-2. Another devastating loss for the Mets. They are reeling, as said before. The Yankees and the Red Sox have a doubleheader, and the Yankees win both of those games. Kudos to the Yankees. They are climbing up the AL East standings. The Nationals get a surprising W over the Blue Jays, 12-6. The Brewers and the Cardinals have a low-scoring affair, and you know what else they have? They have an absolute eyewear shutout.
Bing.
2-0. Corbin Burnes is absolutely on fire. Potential Cy Young candidate. Seattle Mariners and the Texas Rangers went at it, and the Mariners won 3-1. Pretty boring matchup. Let's go to Houston, where the Astros lost against the Kansas City Royals again. 3-1, the Astros have lost two straight to the Royals. The Angels and the Tigers, they play that game. The Angels get ahead of them pretty early, and they win that game 8-2. The Braves and the Marlins have an absolute eyewear shutout, and the Braves win that game 2-0. Another, Another absolute eyewear shutout. As Love Chris it. Says, the Rays win, and they score 10 runs, and they give up zero. So that's what happened in that game. The Cubs get a shocking upset over the Cincinnati Reds yesterday, 2-1. And let's end the slate today with the A's getting shut out by the White Sox. How many times can one say absolute eyewear? We don't know. The Colorado Rockies have a surprising win over the San Diego Padres, 7-3. But if you look on the Instagram, Jake Cronenworth had a very notable inside the park home run. The Arizona Diamondbacks are able to edge out the Phillies, 3-2. Pretty shocking upset. And the Dodgers take care of business at home against the Pittsburgh Pirates, 4-3. That is your AJ Sports Update.
AJ, grassy ass, my man. To catch everybody else up on the old baseball docket. But all right, so with that, we are going to take a little bit of a break. We'll pay some bills. We will also show you all the Chop Athletes merch that we got rocking right now, including, well, we didn't include it because it dropped yesterday. No, I'm wrong. I'm all over the place. No new merch yesterday. I was talking about as far as the NIL guys, but we will talk to some of those kids today, as a matter of fact, to get their ideas on paper. Yeah, so that being that, let's take a little bit of a break. And when we come back, the 2021 Los Angeles Chargers. Warren Brumell of Keyport Law has been practicing for over 35 years and is here to help you in your bankruptcy matters. Bankruptcy is a specialized area of law that requires expertise and experience, and Warren brings both. Keyport Law has handled over 10,000 bankruptcy cases. They will make the process simple and provide easy, affordable payment plans. Warren will get creditors off your back, stop the annoying phone calls, and stop the creditors from contacting your neighbors and former employers. Listeners of Chop Sports will get the first interview free. Go to www.keyportlaw.com and fill out the new client intake form, and they will contact you directly. This firm is a debt relief agency helping people file for relief under the bankruptcy code.
All right, we're back here on the Chop Sports podcast. We want to thank, of course, our ever so loving advertisers for always stepping up to the plate and getting getting involved with the Chop Sports Network, and also chopsports.shop for all your merchandise on how to celebrate, support your boys. I don't know where that came from. Celebrate your boys. Support your boys by buying. I know Ashmere Fitch has put in a nice big chunky order to get some new hoodies and new merch. So be sure to support the brand, support your boys, and get yourselves some merchandise, as I am wearing right now, and Gooch is wearing a Zoo Health Club. Where is that?
I don't know.
You don't know. So you got a hoodie. You don't even know what it is?
I stole it from Lindsay, my sister.
You stole a hoodie from your sister. All right. Well, listen. That's cool. Anyway, so the Los Angeles Chargers, okay? The Los Angeles Chargers. Now, I went to try to go to the depth chart, and they're showing a picture. If you click on the Chargers on one of the websites, it's just a picture of Roman Reigns playing college football. So that's just weird. But anyway, it was an article saying, like, best professional wrestlers turned football players, i.e. Brock Lesnar. But that was before the case. He actually left wrestling to go try out for the Vikings and sucked really bad. Brock Lesnar, one of my favorite athletes, couldn't play football. Go figure that out. I guess not for everybody. When you're that big and that fast and that agile.
Everybody in the NFL is that big and that fast.
It's about skill.
Okay. Know? Thanks. Anyway.
Coach AJ.
Right. Thanks, Coach. Anyway, so the Los Angeles Chargers last year finished third in the AFC West. That's why we're doing them today. Yesterday, we covered the Denver Broncos. When you're looking at the guy, the Chargers team, this is the team, in my opinion, that will give the Chiefs the run. And when I say the run, I just think it'll be a little different. Do me a favor. I'm like pulling up a million things. Pull up last year's standings for me. Last year, 2020's AFC West standings. I want to see the gap between the Chargers and the Raiders. The Chiefs and the Raiders, how much they won the division by, because I think it's going to be a lot less this year. And it starts up top. I firmly believe that we are in the era. We talked a little bit about what's up.
I was just going to.
Go ahead. What is it?
Okay. So the Chargers were 7-9 and the Raiders were 8-8.
Correct. But who 8-8. What were the Chiefs?
Oh, Chiefs were 14-2.
Okay, so they won the division by 6 games. That's not going to happen this year. That's my first non-bold prediction, because that's just insane. But anyway, so yesterday when Alan Austin was here, we were talking about the AFC East. We recorded a couple cool episodes of Chart Choppers, which, by the way, I am so remiss by saying that there's new episodes of Chart Choppers all about the Star, Keep It Real with Elena Christina, and the goddamn Jets debuted their
show, their first time on a Wednesday. They'd like to recap last week, preview this week. So if you're a Jets fan, go check those guys out.
The fantasy guy.
And the fantasy guy. Sorry. Only on Spotify right now.
He's like, dude, what the fuck?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I actually just
signed. Dude, did we really drop 5 podcasts today? That's insanity to me. I must have been one busy bee yesterday.
6.
6 being this one. Wow. So 6 podcasts.
Well, AJ dropped his yesterday, technically.
Well, whatever. He's promoting it today.
Yeah.
As well as the rest. Anyway, go check out the entire podcast lineup. We got a lot of cool shit going on within the podcast. But we were saying yesterday when we were sitting down with Alan that Josh Allen was on that surge, right? Josh Allen of the Bills. We talked about the Bills already, how good he can be. I think Justin Herbert could be just as good.
I think he could be better.
That's what I'm saying.
He could be better.
I'll low the bar.
He's got a ways to go, but
Justin Herbert
did last year.
Is that dude. And, you know, he's definitely in firm hold of the Chargers starting quarterback position for years to come. And he gets a decent looking offense back. Now, Austin Eckler, starting off your running backs, he's been banged up a little bit. Last year, he missed most of the year, if I'm not mistaken. I think my brother owned him in fantasy. And it was just a nightmare just because you were waiting and waiting and waiting and it just never happened. But between Eckler, Justin Jackson, and Joshua Kelly, they too have a decent little three-headed monster. Three totally separate backs. Eckler, I think, if given the right opportunities and the right amount of plays and the right play designs and play calls, he's one of the most electrifying runners in football.
I am the biggest Austin Eckler fanboy you will ever see. I love that dude. He's, as you said, electric. He's going to be great this year.
Yeah, you got a feeling that's coming from straight from AJ Bascone, the fantasy guy himself. Which, by the way, if you haven't checked out that podcast, I know we just talked about it, but the intro, my God, it's just ruined my day.
He's on my do not draft list.
Okay,
and that's why, because of injuries.
Yeah, and because of where he's going, where I see him going, like I'll pick him later on, but I see him going at like in some cases as early as the end of the first round. There's no way I'm taking him there. I might take him if I'm in the back end of round 2 and
what about our massive 16 team league? You see him in the first round? No. Okay. Well,
I'm not taking him at 15.
He might be gone.
I hope.
I hope so too.
There's somebody there that I want.
I hope the biggest Eckler fan in the room takes him at whatever. Were you at 11?
And I might.
Okay, good.
I see him. I don't see him getting many carries. You looked at what he did when Melvin Gordon was there. He was kind of their pass receiving back. I see him being almost the same thing. And they got these other two guys that kind of came on when he left. I'm not sold on Eckler as a bell cow back. I know me and AJ have talked about this. And he almost kind of agrees with me as well because I don't think that Eckler is going to be the guy on first and second down. Typically, you'll see him in situations.
So who is it? Justin Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or either him or Joshua Kelly.
Or Kelly. I think Joshua Kelly came on.
But
good,
their yards per
carry
last year were horrible. Joshua Kelly had a 3.2 yard per carry, and I think Justin Jackson's was like 3.5 compared to Austin Eckler's 4.2.
Bang, that's stats. that's good. But again, 4.2 when he's on the field. You know, that was the problem. He didn't play.
And I'm pretty sure Eckler was only running when they had Tyrod Taylor starting.
Before Justin Herbert came in,
Eckler was already out, correct?
Possibly, but I thought Herbert actually could have started week one because of the fact that they stuck the needle.
Week one?
Yeah, I
think that was like real early. Yeah, it was like maybe just like totally sabotaged his career.
I ain't trying to prove nobody wrong.
I'm not worrying about any of it. It's the AFC West. It's hard for me to really get in depth about what's going on in week one or two of last year with the AFC West.
Right.
I'm completely wrapped up in my own world.
I hear that. And now when we talk about Justin Herbert, it all starts like with the guys he can throw it at. And this is not a bold take because I know there's other people that agree with me that Keenan Allen, when healthy, is still one of the best wide receivers in football when it comes to catch. His catching ability, his route running ability, his ability to get up and get a ball on a jump ball situation, that guy is forever going to be one of my favorite players in the league. And he doesn't, I mean, look, we're not on the field, so we don't know if he actually is like a shit talker on the field. I'm sure they all are. But I feel like he's just one of those guys that goes on the field, gets it done, will get in your face. You know, like he's just a really good football player.
The problem that I have is that one line that everybody says about him is that when healthy.
Right. He's and that great, sucks, but
he's always out for at least a month every year collectively, every year. And I do love Keenan Allen. I remember Devontae Adams last year saying that if you could pick one receiver to play across from, it would be him. That would be a dream. But Keenan Allen's always hurt.
Yeah.
As good as he is, as great as he could be, he's always hurt.
And what about Mike Williams?
After Mike Williams. I mean, after Keenan Allen is Mike Williams. Mike Williams, again, he's
like the Kelvin Benjamin, but a little bit better.
Yeah, I was just getting, you know what? That's so crazy. Like, it's almost like we hang out every day or something. I was thinking the same thing. Kelvin Benjamin, just a little bit more of a better overall wide receiver.
He's another one on my do not draft list.
Okay.
He's always injured too.
Jalen Guyton coming into his second year. He might be the guy to watch it for this year, considering the fact that, you know, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams will draw the attention of your cornerbacks one and two, and Guyton could be a breakout star in year three. And then when you talk about the tight end, the guy who I personally hate more than a lot of other people because of what he's done to my team is Jared Cook. Jared Cook is a journeyman. He's been around. He leaves the Saints and now gets to join Justin Herbert. That's an upgrade to me.
It's a downgrade.
To play with...
Like, for who is it an upgrade for? It's definitely not an upgrade over Hunter Henry. I think Hunter Henry's better.
I'm talking about for him, for Cook.
For him to go to... Okay.
Yes, yeah. For him to leave the Saints and go to the Chargers is an upgrade for him. As a position, yes, Hunter Henry is probably a little better. Another one that's just have to deal with how many times that guy's been hurt. You know what I mean? So, but Jared Cook is a journeyman. He's been around a long, long time. The Chargers went off and took one of the best two offensive linemen in the NFL draft this year. Rayshon Slater is their starting left tackle.
They got our center. They got
Corey Linsley. So they spent some money to keep their all-pro quarterback upright, or their whatever
and
their quarterback.
And to convert those 3.2 yards per carry into 4.2 yards per carry. Like, so that's what we're going
Brian Bulaga, too, right tackle.
He's a great right tackle.
Another right tackle. This offensive line is definitely in the upper echelon of offensive lines in the league. And if, like I said, if you give Justin Herbert time to scan the field with those receivers and little Ecklers over here in the flat, like that could be a recipe for a really good offense this year.
The one thing that we're not mentioning is first-year head coach.
It will be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. Every time there's a first-year head coach, I just have to see it all on the field before I could buy into it. He's a guy that's never coached in the league. He's young. Let me get his name. I actually had it, and now I forget it.
And I'm pretty sure.
Brandon Staley.
He had a crazy
track. And that's Anthony Lynn's replacement?
Yeah.
So they had did they fire Lynn midseason last year?
He was the defensive coordinator for the Rams last year. Brandon Staley was. So okay. I guess he's from the McVay
tree, if that's a tree. It's not a tree yet.
It's getting there.
It is, I guess. Yeah,
it's getting there. But it's really still the Shanahan coaching tree.
Which is nuts. That's how long those things last, is those coaching trees just go forever. But, so the defensive-minded head coach now has to coach a 3-4 defense that I wrote with a question mark. Defense has some real weapons. Like, I'm Ron Burgundy. Like, there's a couple guys that are game wreckers on the defensive side of the ball. And we're talking about Joey Bosa. We're talking about Linval Joseph. Yes, we're talking about Chris Harris Jr. We're talking about Derwin James Jr., who is probably, again, one of the better safeties in the league. Outside of those guys, I think there's a couple of holes. You know, I think that the Chargers defense is not built to win right this second. But, like you said, bringing a defensive-minded head coach from that McVay coaching tree, maybe this is a thing. Maybe that turns around relatively good. And I'm in the position to say and believe that all you need in this NFL that we have now, where it's offensive-driven, quarterback-driven, points, you just need a middle-of-the-pack defense to get to make a run.
And sounds like a Cowboy fan talking right there.
Shut up. You know what? I went a long time. I talked about Hard Knocks because it was relevant, because it happened, but I've been pretty good today.
I know, but what I'm saying is I've heard you say this about the Cowboys. Like, if we could just get a middle-of-the-road defense,
that's
we'll
the
compete.
NFL.
I think that you could compete and maybe make the playoffs, but I don't know how far you're going to go with a middle-of-the-road defense.
But
I've seen it fucking year after year. Green Bay has never have a middle-of-the-road defense. They're always at the bottom half, and their offense is always great. And even when they get to, like, 15 or 16, it's just not enough. It's just not enough.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But the Chiefs won a Super Bowl with a middle-of-the-pack defense is what I'm saying. It's a possibility when you have that high-powered of an offense.
That defense was a little bit better than people were giving them credit for.
I like certain players on that defense, but when you look at the statistics, they're a middle-of-the-pack defense. And I think that's where the Chargers need to go. Now, AJ, pull up their schedule for me. The Los Angeles Chargers have themselves a hard division, okay? The same division we talked about yesterday that the Broncos had to go through, they have to go through it as well with two games against the Chiefs, two games against the Raiders, and two games against the Broncos.
You think that's hard?
I think that division is very competitive against each other.
I think that there's three average to below average teams that could compete, potentially be better than we expect, but I don't know that division outside the Chiefs is good at all.
I can predict right off the rip in their first, before their bye comes in week 7, so they're going to play 6 games. I can rattle off probably a, I want to say a win against Washington in Washington in week one. Dallas comes to town, and this is what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. The Dallas Cowboys, and I've said this on every podcast that will have me, a.k.a. the ones that I host, I've said that the Dallas Cowboys will somehow beat Tom Brady in the opener, okay, in Tampa Bay, right? And everybody's going to go high and go crazy and get, say, the Cowboys, this is our time, this is Super Bowl year, and then they're going to lose to Justin Herbert in week two. That's what I truly believe is going to happen. So they have a chance to go 2-0 before they got to go to Kansas City. I don't think they get that done, but I think they get it done against Las Vegas. I think they get it done against Cleveland, and maybe Baltimore gives them a fit, so maybe a 4-2 start. And that's a good start to be in when you're in the AFC West. When you have a guy, when you have a team like the Kansas City Chiefs that, you know, are probably primed to win 12, 13 games again. So you have to get off to a hot start. So the bye hits, and then it doesn't get any, I mean, it gets easier, but like the New England game is not a cakewalk, right? The Philadelphia game, they'll probably win. They could beat Minnesota. You know, on the other schedule, like down the schedule, if you look, the division games are there. Cincinnati, the Giants, they're there. Houston, they get a win there. You know, they'll probably close the year splitting that up. So, AJ, give me the win-loss total that Vegas has, the Los Angeles Chargers, coming off a 7-9 season in which that is seven games behind the leader last year. So that is, that alone, I feel like there's, it's impossible to happen again in a division where I think every team in that division got a little better, except I want to say Las Vegas didn't really do too much stuff to really impress me. We'll talk about them tomorrow. What's the win-loss total?
Vegas is a bunch of bastards. Nine.
So they're giving them two more wins with this, another year of Justin Herbert, a healthy Eckler, Keenan Allen's on the field right now. I'm okay, and I'm comfortable, and we'll talk about the Chiefs tomorrow. Remember,
we'll talk about the Chiefs in 2 days.
Sorry, Chiefs in 2 days, where the Chiefs won 14 games last year. We'll talk about their win total, but they won the division by six games, right? Is that what we said, 8-14? Yeah, so that's six games. They will not win the division by six games this year. In fact, I think they win this division by three, and I'm going to give the Chargers a 10-7 finish off a 7-9 year. Three more wins.
They still win the division fairly easily.
Three games. Three, yes, games. That's, it's what, like, I think.
Month off on the AFC West, essentially, down the stretch.
Basically.
I don't see the Chargers being that improved.
Okay.
I think that Herbert, just because he had a great rookie year, there's always that second year regression, potentially. Not every quarterback makes the leap. I think Herbert's special. Mm-hmm. I really do. I'm not convinced about his weapons on offense outside of Keenan Allen, who typically does get hurt. We talk about Eckler. He can't stay healthy either. Jared Cook is good, but he's, I think, a downgrade over from Hunter Henry. New head coach. I think the offensive line will help, but I've got him at 7-9. Or 8-9. One win more, but same amount of losses.
All right. So I'm sorry. You say seven?
Eight.
Eight wins. So 8-9. You finished there. AJ, what do we got? Are you riding with Vegas? Or are you taking the under?
9-8.
9-8, so that gives you a push on your bet. So all three of us have them at different wins. Gucci with 8, Bascone over here with 9, and I'm giving them the rub, and I'm thinking that the Chargers will be a much better team than they were last year.
I think that what you were saying, they could go 4-2. I think giving them 2-4 is a gift.
I think that's a very hard start. And I
early. Think, yeah. I think it's really going to be Cowboys? Tough early. Honestly, I'm not sure. I'm not giving them either one of the Cowboys or Redskins games. I'm giving them one of the two. Just say one of the two just for shits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't see them outside of Vegas, which is also a division game, very losable game. You know, that's the ones I'm giving them. I'm giving them one of the two in the first 2 weeks, and then I'm giving them potentially the Vegas game, but I think the rest are L's going into the bye. And then coming out of the bye, you got the Patriots, who I think there's going to be another one that's going to be a tough game to win. Are they on the road there?
No, home.
Well, that's good. But, yeah, I think that they might be 2-5.
Wow. Going so you think the Chargers get off to a rough start, new head coach. You think that could equal
and some... 2-5 is like, I can't guarantee two wins out of that. And all those teams, Washington, a playoff team, Dallas has a really good offense. KC is KC. The Raiders are the only game that I'm, like, fairly confident that they'll be able to take care of. And Cleveland, L. Baltimore, L, and then New England is another up in the air. So it's going to be tough for them to pick things up late in the season if they're starting off that rough.
Interesting take. Interesting take for the Los Angeles Chargers of 2021. We again, this has been a division that's always been highly competitive pretty much our entire lives. You know what I mean? The Chiefs have separated themselves as the premier team, but I think it's going to be a little bit the Broncos are probably a couple years away from being good. And then, like I think, like I said, the Chargers take a little bit of a leap this year. We'll talk about the Raiders tomorrow. Maybe Tommy D wants to get involved with the Chop Sports podcast if he's wants to play hooky at work or whatever. If not, he can just watch us talk shit. So, but with that being said, this has been another banger of an episode of the Chop Sports podcast. Tomorrow, like I just mentioned, we'll be talking about the Las Vegas Raiders. And well, where do we? What's wrong?
No, I'll do it myself.
Okay, you'll do it in your soft clothes. And, of course, tonight the Yankees get back on the diamond to play the Red Sox again. It's Heaney pitching, so prepare for us to come in tomorrow and talk about the fact that the Red Sox are now above the Yankees in the standings. So we'll see. But for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ Bascone from the couch, be sure to tune in. The Fantasy Guy, it's out and available. Be sure to tune in to All About the Star if you want to hear me talk Cowboys, because I tried very, very hard to be conscious about not talking about too much about the Cowboys today, even though I did see a comment saying Cowboys suck, so that was definitely Jimmy. That'll do it for today. So we will see you guys tomorrow.
So we got Jimmy telling you that the Cowboys suck, but he's trying to, I think, bang my girl.